Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you going to play that dastardly intro again?
Ow! This movie's still fine.
Zuccoli, pasta.
One of them dies, they go screw. One of them's a hothead, his name is Jack. One of them looks like Johnny D, and his name is Johnny D.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.
Hello, and welcome to episode 57 of The Worst Idea of All Time, Uncharted Waters. My name is Guy Montgomery, and I'm joined online and in the recording by your friend and mine, Tim Batt.
Hey, Guy.
Hey, buddy.
What a lonesome viewing. You're holding up some peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, I reckon they make them different over here.
Yeah, they look bigger, I reckon, in America. Everything looks bigger. Hold that up to the camera so I can see that.
Yeah, that's just because I'm holding it really close to the camera. It's not actually as big as my head.
No, it looks bigger than your head. They make peanut M&Ms big as your head. They are in the States.
Why is a Cockney boy selling me American M&Ms?
Because you don't drop a H in an American accent, and you've always got to go with the most fun way of saying something. For example, the Kiwi vernacular does not also pronounce the letter H as H. I got that from Australia, but I just think it's fun. You just go grab the bits that are fun, you know?
That was actually, I just realized it then. Something that really put me off people when I was a boy, what a fucking shit, was H. I couldn't handle H's.
You didn't like H, huh?
It was H or nothing. I could be friends with them, obviously, but I just lost some respect.
Do you think you respect people now who say H? Chuck a H out there?
User's choice. Do what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they are like, I do believe them to be slightly worse than people who just say H.
Guy, I'd like to kick off.
It's more work to say H.
I'd like to kick off.
Just take it easy.
57th episode of The Worst Idea of All Time. We've just watched the movie separately by our lonesomes. Boy, it was lonely. Why don't we start with some word association to just gauge the feeling in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, cool, man.
Okay, cool. So how this exercise is going to work is I'm going to say something and then you're instantly going to say the first thing that pops into your head, okay? There's no wrong answers with this.
This is
just to get a little sense of where your head's at.
I know how word association works.
Okay, Tanya.
Romero.
Gold.
are good.
Weed.
Very good.
Page.
Harrell.
House.
Ghost.
Did you say ghost?
Yeah.
House ghost. Okay, very
house
good.
House ghost, coast to coast.
Okay, all right, let's keep going. Happy?
No.
Steak?
No. I
feel like you've got a very slow reaction time. One that would suggest you're trying to cook up something, but then nothing tremendously great comes. I mean, be quick or be good, Guy, but at the moment you're being neither.
I'm overthinking it.
You are?
I am, yeah. I'm trying to think of a good word. and then no word comes, so I just say the first word. But
I can tell, but we're getting a lag. This is what costs Hillary Clinton the election, according to John Stewart. Guy, don't fall into the trap of the 6 second buffer.
What? This is, I'm not running for anything. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter how I do on the word association test.
Octopus.
Hmm. That's not.
No, see, this isn't how it works at all. What time is it over there? Stupid o'clock.
It's actually, it is stupid o'clock, man. It's 7:15 p.m. But I am absolutely wiped out. I had fun. You know how it is.
Did you have a good full day today in the Big Apple?
I did have a full day today in the Big Apple. Man, you cover so much ground here. I've been walking on average 13 Ks a day.
That's quite a lot.
It is so much walking.
Fuck, that's a lot.
And so, yeah, and then so I was planning on just tucking into bed and, you know, watching something I like and going nine-nines. And then you were like, hey, man, no. can you do a watch? And I could see no other opportunity for us. And it was like, it was, you know, real heartbreak. It was
devastating. It was, I think, might be.
I had to wait 45 minutes to wait for the watch. And so it was like just filled with dread. I went and bought a salad from the supermarket. It was great. I think they put sugar in it or something.
That sounds quintessentially American. Chuck some sugar in there.
Yeah.
Chuck a bit of mayo in there. Chuck some dressing in there.
You know you're in New York when there's sugar in the salad.
That's what they say.
An old New York saying. Hey, I'll tell you. Okay, I'll bring the energy up. I just want to tell you this. I will get to talking about We Are Your Friends, which I know what we both want to do. But I had a really good interaction with a guy yesterday. I was sitting outside having some in a Mexican cafe, having some lovely huevos rancheros, or waiting for them actually. And before my food came out, they brought out like corn chips and salsa, really delicious salsa. And I was sitting there, I was reading my Kindle, I was having a bit of chip and salsa, and a man, like a pretty respectable looking guy, was walking past. Like, you know, did he looked like he had been somewhere and was going somewhere. Was like, stopped and was like, hey, you're not going to believe this, but... This is not his voice, but you know, I go around New York testing all the corn chips. I said, what? And he said, I test all the corn chips. I said, am I to believe that you're some sort of, you know, you're New York City's quality control for corn chips? And the man said, that is exactly what you are to believe. I said, well, you better have a corn chip then. And he reached across the table and took a corn chip and dipped it in the salsa and ate it. After he ate it, he said, you know I'm not actually a corn chip inspector, don't you? And I said, yes. And he said, very good, man. You seemed like a nice guy. And that was it. He just walked away.
I love that. See, no one in New Zealand's got the gumption to pull off that kind of shit. I expect these kind of characters to populate the rest of your life stateside. This is you from now on. You live in a comic strip.
I mean, it was truly incredible. It reminded me so much of Snake in The Simpsons when he says "wallet inspector."
Like, yeah,
that wasn't the corn chip inspector at all. Anyway,
I'll tell you. No. In the interest of context, what we're bringing into the watch to the episode, I'll tell you what I've been up to the last 12 hours or 24 hours. I went up to the north of the North Island.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And I was at your friend of mine, Ranira's 30th birthday party. And
Did you send him and his wonderful wife, Emma, my love and wish him a happy birthday as I requested?
Yes.
If I was to message Em or Ra and say, hey guys, did Tim relay my message of love and birthday merriment?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course.
They would say, of course, yeah.
Naturally, you can't message them right now. And naturally, you know, you want to take the time to send me the file as soon as we're done talking here. But absolutely, yeah. That's not related to what we're talking about now, but I just want to, you know, reiterate what the process is as well.
Okay, maybe I'll do that. I'm going to message I'm going to send a message right now.
No. So once again, as I just said, so obviously we don't do any of that kind of stuff while we're talking. And then I would, sort of just like to reiterate how important it is that I get the file as soon as humanly possible. So I just send that recording over to me before okay. You do anything else.
Okay. It seems odd that I need to do that. But
yeah. It was a good birthday, though. I got our man Zoe and I picked him out a Quentin Tarantino coffee table book. He's a film buff, regular film buff. And there was a gorgeous dog there. You would have loved it, Guy. You're a real dog person, aren't you?
I like dogs. There are a lot of dogs here. I went to the Halloween dog parade, and it was a very condensed area with a lot of people, and all of them had their dogs, and their dogs were dressed as different things. One of them was a peacock, and some of them were pumpkins, and none of the dogs were very happy about it, I don't think. The dog that was a peacock clearly knew that it was dressed as a peacock and was like... I think the level of intellect the dog possessed was, I am not a peacock, so why are you dressing me as such?
He wasn't taking it to heart and strutting around as a peacock, but obviously a dog. Dressing up your dog is like, it's like taking your kids to a protest, you know? They don't know what's going on. Just don't do it. Wait till the dog can make up its own mind about what it wants to be, what it wants to dress up as for Halloween. Well, I'll tell you what, 10 minutes flat and we still haven't talked about the movie. That's good. That's good stuff. Because I was looking at it and it was looking at me, and a few thoughts went through my head. The first one, when I was sort of halfway through the movie actually, was, boy howdy, I don't know what's left to say about this. After 50 watches or something, I mean, it's just done. Here's another thing. I was watching Designated Survivor, which is a Kiefer Sutherland show that I like to watch on Netflix, even though it's not fantastic, but it's very, very watchable. For
you love
fans
that
24,
show.
It's a good time. Yeah, absolutely.
It's about a regular man who becomes the president of the United States of America.
He's not a regular man. He's he's in cabinet, I think. Anyway, I'll tell you who popped up. Tanya Romero is a heroic medical woman, some sort of highfalutin doctor. And I was like, Tanya. You've made it.
You've scraped yourself
it was
together.
Real cool.
You've done quite well, Tanya.
Yeah, like, it was awesome.
She was really on her, she's on her haunches in this movie. And then obviously that box of money that Zoccoli gives her really helped turn things around.
Yeah, she's changed her name though. I think that's what you do when you sort of come back from a troubling time like that. She's called Tammy. And I remember that because the whole episode's about a flu outbreak. And I remember there was when the bird flu was kicking off, the cure was called Tamiflu. So that's how I formed that little mnemonic in my head. Here's another thing, Guy. Did you realize... Yep.
Well, if I was changing my name from Tanya, I would not pick another T name. I think she's made a bad decision to call herself Tammy.
Maybe it's a nod. Maybe she's like Where's Wally, where she is hiding, but she sort of wants smart people to find her. Do you think that's Where's Wally's deal?
Is that what Wally wants? He wants to be found occasionally?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, he's never like inside a fully like closed off box or fully hidden behind a tree. He leaves enough there just for the smart people to find him. It's like a litmus test for geniuses.
He's created quite a lot of hullabaloo for a man who I frankly don't know what he's done that's so great. But, he's a paranoid guy.
What is he hiding from? That's the real question, isn't it?
He gets he encourages people to dress up as him. It's pretty freaky stuff.
Do you think it would be a fun adaptation for the franchise? Do you reckon anyone's made a comic strip or maybe a graphic novel or something, and it turns out Wally, or Waldo, as he is locally known in America, which I think... Is he from America? Is he American?
Waldo is. But are you going to say that a gritty graphic novel where Waldo is the bad guy and Oddlaw is actually... Like, Oddlaw is a time cop who's trying to catch Wally, who's a serial killer? Because Oddlaw's the bad guy in the books, but I like to think he could be good.
I see Waldo / Wally as more the protagonist, whereby he is a... what is that series called? Harrison Ford? I think it was Harrison Ford, and he was on the run. He was a vigilante, and a one-armed man had killed his wife, you see. The one-armed man.
The Fugitive. That's not a
TV
show.
Yeah, The Fugitive.
Show. Or is
it's
it?
Like The Fugitive. Yeah, that's how it started. The movie.
I like that Harrison movie. Ford.
Was it good?
No, but it's better than what we just watched. It's just good, dumb fun.
Hey, oh, so where I was going with that, oh, I wasn't going anywhere with that, but my next fact was, because I was Googling around when I saw Tanya Romero pop up, did you realize that We Are Your Friends only had a budget of $2 million? That's pretty impressive.
That is really impressive.
Yeah. Crazy, huh? Like, normally Zac Efron alone would get more money for a film, you know? Just by himself.
That is kind of depressing, because that means that they must have really believed in it.
I guess so, or not, because they didn't pump a lot into it.
No, but everyone involved is doing it for love. I mean, they're getting paid as well, but you know that's it. People are taking pay cuts. You know, they want to get this thing over the line because they believe that they're onto something.
That is depressing, but it made money. It made $11 million at the box office, so everyone kept the lights on, got the bills paid.
That's good. I'll be interested to see Maximum Joseph's next film.
Yeah.
I mean, I reckon he would have learned a lot of lessons here. And I don't think it's necessarily... I don't enjoy the film, obviously, because I've seen it 57 times before, but I don't think he's necessarily bad. You know...
You don't think he's a bad...
I'll watch his next movie.
Do you think that Maximum Joseph would be the trusting pair of hands needed for a film adaptation of the gritty reboot of the Waldo series, wherein Waldo is a man on the run hiding from the feds?
And the feds are Oddlaw, a time cop who's out to catch Waldo.
Well, Oddlaw. The name's right there. It was the feds the whole time.
If you change the context of... if you change the context of Waldo to that, those are much more fun books.
Yeah. A slightly different age target, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
then
man.
You've sort of got to explain the nature of the deep state to a kid, and that's always a bit of a taxing afternoon just to get them set up for a picture book.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want that. Hey,
you don't want that.
Tim, I will instill some positivity and some cultural relevance to this episode of the podcast by telling you my shining light this week was... When Zaccoli's like, that painting just moved, and then James Reed says, no, it's just the PCP talking. When James Reed says that, I'm like, fucking hell, my guy. That is the most casual way to tell someone you have drugged them with, like, quite literally one of the most fucked up drugs you can give someone.
Yeah.
You are a seriously loose cannon. Like, that really rocked me this week. I was like, fuck. You do not care at all.
He's a nihilist. He's totally self-obsessed. He doesn't care about anything. Do you kind of desire that sort of... it's not really confidence. Because it's like not caring about other people. There is something attractive about that as a character type. Of just being like, I don't care what shit I fuck up. As long as I'm having a good time.
What? Yeah, but they don't even make it interesting. Like, he's not... His self-destructive streak isn't so powerful that I care. It's like, what's at stake for him? He doesn't care about his relationship. He doesn't really care about his reputation as a DJ. Hit rock bottom, James Reed.
That's the beauty of him. The most dangerous man in the world. Man with nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah.
The thing I keep thinking, that was your shining light?
Yeah, his attitude towards spiking Zaccoli with PCP was my shining light.
I'm going to go pretty existential, if I may, on the shining light this week. Because what I keep thinking about is, like, at this point, at this absurd point of this being the 57th watch of this film, and just watching it by myself, alone in my bedroom on a projector, it's quite engulfing, all-encompassing. And it just, it struck me that, you know, there's a wave, there's a crest, there's a graph, however you want to kind of visualize it. But it's like you hit the movie at the start, the first time you see it, and you're like, okay, we're dealing with a movie. And then around the 20s, you're like, okay, we're dealing with a very annoying thing, deeply frustrating thing I have to keep interacting with. And then there's sort of little mini waves of despair, and there's anger, and then there's some sort of resolution. And now it's kind of approaching somewhat a state of nirvana, a sort of meditative state when it's on, whereby the only thing that the movie is doing now is serving as a reflection of what is going on internally, emotionally for me. So I just felt, I was watching it this week and I just felt reasonably calm and just sort of surrendered myself over to Megan Oppenheimer and Joseph, Maximum Joseph.
On one hand, Tim, I completely understand what you're saying. And on the other hand, you sound like a fucking lunatic, bro. Yes, though.
What bit of that sounded like the ramblings of
a lunatic? I understand the feeling of watching the movie and sort of the notion of just letting it wash over you. And here's if you're feeling at peace. It could be. I've thought of the movie as meditative before, but it's not. That's like Stockholm Syndrome talking. It's not meditative. That's not good.
Oh, it's not good. And I think you're right. Maybe it is a kind of a Stockholm Syndrome kicking in at this point. But, as you said, this is uncharted territory. These waters have not been sailed before. There's no map here.
They're murky.
And it's funny just idea. The extreme mediocrity of this film is kind of really slamming that whole phenomenon home. This isn't a Sex and the City 2. You can't hold on to your anger with this one. You know?
No.
It's weird.
Not knowing it's made for $2 million, it always comes back to that for me. It's that is to be respected. You know? It's
in some ways. I'm going
to
blow my nose, so I'm just going to mute for a second.
Yeah, right on. It's harder to be rude and dismissive towards a movie that people obviously cared about. I've said it before, I'll say it again. All right, I'm so tired. I had no fight in me. I couldn't do anything when I was watching it. It was just happening. But we weren't interested in each other. It's companionship at this point. You know,
so true.
I don't watch the movie because the movie brings out the best in me. I watch the movie because I watch the movie. Like,
uh-oh. We got some dark talk happening here. I watch the movie because I watch the movie. That's a worry.
That's just what's happening, isn't it?
I need to unplug. I mean, I'm glad that this has only got three more goes around the merry-go-round. That's quite stupendous. Only three more of these. But it's also hard to get excited about when you've just watched the movie for the 57th time, because you're just in a numbed... Is it a fugue state? When you sort of... It's kind of like comatose.
I love the word fugue, and I love that it's spelt F-U-G-U-E. Like, that's such a dumber... There's a dumb combination of letters that shouldn't work.
Is that how...
It should be pronounced fug. A fugue state is a state or period of loss of awareness of one's identity, often coupled with flight from one's usual environment, associated with certain forms of hysteria and epilepsy. Now, that's confusing, because there's definitely an element of a state of period of loss of awareness of one's identity, but it's not coupled with flight from one's usual environment. This is a place we go to often.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Does that mean physically in that description, do you think? It doesn't matter. We're not experiencing a true fugue state. And
We're pretty close, though.
From those who are. It feels very close. It does feel close. Hey, let me ask you this, Guy.
It should be pronounced fug-u-y or something else. How do you get fugue from that?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you would only know if you'd heard someone else say it. I'll bet there's been a lot of embarrassed people.
Yeah.
Who are big readers who have said that out loud, and people have been like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? What are you talking about?
Fugue should be spelt F-E-W-G.
A Fuji state? Fuji state of mind? You're a moron, Professor. Get out of this classroom. You've lost the moral authority over the room. The students have called you bluff.
You're a hook, Captain Cook. Captain Crook. No, you're a crook, Captain Hook, is what I was trying for.
Swing and a miss. They can't all be gold. As this episode, I think, is a testament to.
I think this is a good episode. It feels different. It feels like we're both respectively in a different space. It's our first one apart. So it's quite interesting. It's quite an interesting companion to the previous episode where I was emotionally rubbed raw.
Ugh. That doesn't sound good.
You were there. You bloody prodding around.
No, I know. I did the rubbing, but it was just the way you put it. It's sort of yucky.
Was it too visceral for you, Tim?
Yeah.
Visceral's a good word because it sounds like what its definition is.
Yeah, almost onomatopoeic, but not.
Yeah, which is crazy because it's not a sound. But I am totally on the level with you on that one. See, we're getting somewhere now. This is why you do 57. To pick apart a few choice words.
If you could remove one character from this film, and it would have the least amount of impact, but like one sort of a main, someone who's got a bit of stage time on there, a bit of screen time rather, who would it be?
Johnny Depp can go, and it doesn't make any difference to the whole movie.
You are absolutely right.
He does nothing.
That should be a question when you're writing a script, right? If I remove this character, does any single thing change? No? Okay, cool. Maybe I'll write him out. Maybe he doesn't need to be there.
Hard out. But, you know, people getting paid, which I love. I love that he got paid for that. Pretty borderline role, though. You're a drug dealer. You're a...
Excuse me with the cop.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sniffing and the sniffing, everyone. I apologize for that.
Don't sweat it. People say bless you here a lot more than we do in New Zealand. Because we are...
atheists.
Are we secular?
Yeah.
Here, so it's bless you this, bless you that. I've started blessing people, which I love because they're really grateful. I talk over people. I barge into coffee shops to bless people.
I would often get in a, you would barge into a coffee shop? Because the sneeze, yeah. I guess the sound of a sneeze travels a long way. So if you hear one in the distance, you'll go running, huh?
Yeah, I look around for people who are sneezing.
Would you ever create the situation just so you could be the hero of your own scenario, which probably has a like a name for it in psychology. Go in with cayenne pepper and just kind of blow it invisibly into people's faces.
That's my big plan. That's how I'm going to make it big in New York City. My shtick is going to be the bless you guy. I'll make whole audiences sneeze. And I'll bless them all.
You should wear a shirt that says bless you so people can see you coming. And if they don't want to participate, they can run away.
I should wear a shirt that says if you have sneezed recently or are about to sneeze today, I would like to bless you. And then I've got everyone covered. If I could wear that on, if I could get beamed onto a satellite and that t-shirt, then I would be blessing everyone. And then that's when I would have the power. Because everyone would be indebted to me for time immemorial.
No sneezes in the movie, I'll tell you that. Not a lot of sneezes in cinema, actually. They've got to be very dependent on the plot, don't they? They've got to be a real driver of the story to be included.
Fuck. Yeah,
I can't think of a single sneeze in a film.
There must be some, sneezes are a good trigger for action occasionally. So there must be a few good, famous sneezes. So you'd think.
Yeah, I can't think of a single one. Hey, can I just quickly interrupt this incredibly high quality episode of our podcast to get a message from our sponsors, who I'm a little confused as to why they're sponsoring us.
Oh, this movie's still fine.
Guy, we've got a sponsor, and that sponsor is DollarShaveClub.com. You've heard of them? You know them?
I've heard of them. I know them, but I would love a refresher course.
Well, they sent me this nifty little box, which actually was here while you were here, but I forgot to open it up while you were here. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a live unboxing just for Guy Montgomery, which I believe will be sort of, similar to what you, dear customer, will receive if you join the amazing Dollar Shave Club. What are they? Well, they make incredibly high quality razors at a very affordable price, and they send it directly to your door so you don't have to fuck around with stuff. You know what I'm saying? We've got a lovely little note that says welcome to the club, which is welcoming us aboard, as customers.
They have a bear working at reception by the looks of things.
Yes, there is a cartoon bear who's taking care of business on what looks like perhaps an iMac. We have the beautiful shaver itself, the handle here, and this is the first time I'm touching it. I think this is called the executive razor. Which is what you get. Can you see that, guy? It's attractive.
Yeah, that's
shiny.
A good name for a razor. Yeah, it looks good and solid too.
Can I tell you, it's got that lovely weight to it that you want in this kind of an object. It really feels like an artifact that you want to hold on to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's good.
A lovely little release for the blade. Hey, but we got other stuff in here too, guy. We got the gorgeous shave butter in a lovely
tub. That's fantastic.
I'll just whack a bit of that on. Oh, there's foil and things. I'll get to that. And then we got, oh my God, they put two of everything. You were definitely supposed to get this. I will post. I'll bring this over to you, matey. I'll make sure you get this.
It is imperative that you do.
Oh, there is two.
I don't have any shaving products here in America. That's why I need to sign up for Dollar Shave Club right now.
Guy, everyone does. And
how can they do
like
that?
Would you like to do the next bit of the ad, or shall I?
You do. I was teeing you up.
Well, look, here's your chance to see why over 3 million members like me love Dollar Shave Club. Right now, you can get your first month for as little as $5. And after that, it's just a few bucks a month. Dollar Shave Club is so confident. So confident are they in the quality and value of all their products. There's no long-term commitment. There's no hidden fees. There's no reason not to join. You can get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/worst idea. That's dollarshaveclub.com/worst idea. Get it for yourself, get it for your friends. And when you use that that URL, it reflects well on us. It tells Dollar Shave Club the boys are bringing in some customers.
And we love that.
dollarshaveclub.com/worst idea.
Oh, this movie's still fine.
Well, I don't see any reason to dilly-dally, Tim. I'm curious as to what you think James Reed from The Feelers has inside of the box.
Well, I couldn't possibly get into that before having the preparatory. Let's hit the theme song.
Getting sentimental.
Sentimental with James.
With James Reed. always like it when we do them across country, international. They always sync up perfectly, which is incredible to me.
I've actually got a burning in my loins. I've got a hunger for a little Patty Schwartz is what I'm feeling. Because I haven't done it for so long, and it's such a good feeling. I feel like nothing could make me feel better than a little bit of Squeebop. You know what I'm saying?
There's two different ideas happening
but
at
I'm
once.
I'm just saying, I want a bit of boo boo, a bit of squeep squaw. You know,
squib squibbity squib squop.
But hey now, squib- bit of bebop.
Hey now, Hank Kingsley.
Squibbity bebop.
Squibbity bebop. Boom boom boom.
Squibbity bebop. Squibbity boo.
Oh yeah.
Squibbity bebop. Squibbity boo. Squibbity boo. Squibbity
boo. Wow wow.
Ba 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 ba.
Slow 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 low 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 low.
Squibbity boo. Poobity poo. Moomity moo moo. Scribble bap 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 scribble bap 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 Patty Schwartz, party time.
Party time. I can't do that.
What you got in his little box now, Patty Schwartz. Party time. It's an emotional nightmare. Sentimental gift giving.
Nice. I can't do that because people are everywhere around me. I've got to be respectful.
Fair enough. Look, I'm happy to take the reins on it every now and then when you're in a compromised position.
No, not at all, but, that would have been a whole year's worth of me not being able to sing the song with you. That would have been a disaster.
Oh, boy.
Thankfully, not the situation we find ourselves in this week. Now, Tim, when I was watching the movie, one of the few things about the movie that made me feel good this week was the idea that James Reed was working in cahoots with Paige. I don't know quite what the end game was, but James Reed has started fucking diamonds.
Whoa.
So when he's at the party and he says that Johnny Depp and Jarhead and Skrull will tank that introduction to James Reed from the Feelers, and he goes, hey, cool, come here, I want to show you something. In my head, I was like, oh my God, he's fucked a diamond. And he takes Cole into his music studio and he whips his wang out and he goes, does this look normal to you? And Cole's like, Jesus Christ, dude, no.
Wow, you've got like twist.
Platinum or something coming out of your wang. Is that what all wangs look like? Is mine normal? And he's like, yours is probably normal. This isn't normal. I've been working with a real toy. He says if I fuck a diamond, that shit's forever. And he's right. That was all happening in the movie for me this week. That's not to say it will have any bearing on what's in the box.
Sure. You know,
but that was all swirling around in there.
Can I throw something at you, guy?
Yeah.
And this is perhaps the intro is sort of, you know, it was a fortune telling kind of an intro into the segment this week. Predictive, you might say. Serendipitous.
Yes.
So you open up that MacBook Pro box, what do you expect to see in there? MacBook Pro. I'm afraid it isn't. What it actually is a man who exists just for a brief amount of time. And he's just hoeing down a hot cup of joe, real hot coffee. He's got a newspaper, and he's like a tiny little man, that fits in a MacBook Pro box. Drink, drink, drink. In three gulps, he's finished his steaming hot coffee, and he just runs out of there. And because he's so little, he's impossible to follow. He just scurries out the door. But the strangest bit of it is... there is a hint of something going on in that coffee cup of Phibbs. His tiny little coffee cup for a tiny little man. If you look at it closely enough, what you're going to see is none other than a miniaturized version of Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Hallowed Be Thy Name, who is on riding around on some machete skis within the pool, which for him is sort of a small lake size. So I'll take you through the scale again. We've got normal scale. Okay, we got Zuccoli and James Rude from the Fearless existing on that plane.
Yeah.
We're in the MacBook Pro box. We've got a tiny little man drinking coffee real quick. And in his cup, a tiny, tiny, tiny little Paddy Schwartz on a tiny little pair of machete skis driving around.
Invisible to the naked eye, surely.
Barely visible. Barely visible to the naked
eye. But you can make him out?
You got to really peer in there. You got to peer in there with a magnifying glass. But the craziest thing is, Coffee Guy has now consumed tiny, tiny Paddy Schwartz. So for Coffee Guy, it's always a party, and he's always jacked up on Java. So wherever that tiny little man is, amazing times are sure to follow. He's like a leprechaun, but instead of bringing you gold at the end of the rainbow, he's just bringing you a fucking amazing time if you can find him. Like, where's Wally?
I can't imagine, something that would engender much more pep in your step than drinking that much caffeine constantly and also consuming, I guess, the essence of Patrick Schwarzenegger.
It's kind of the whole him. A very Honey, I Shrunk the Kids styled romp. Adventure through the body of Coffee Guy.
You did pretty well to tie up a lot of loose ends from previous seasons of the podcast there. Really enjoyed that.
One does what one
You'll
can.
Notice that throughout this entire conversation, Tim, I've been slowly, my entire body's just been slowly inching further and further down the pillows behind me until I'm almost 100% visibly, horizontal.
Yeah, visibly receding in front of my eyes.
It's incredible, isn't it? I'm getting smaller and smaller.
Like a man's hairline, guy. You're disappearing from view, inch by inch, right in front of my face.
Like a man's hairline. Like a balding man's hairline.
Just trying to inject a little poetry into the mix, you know? Spice things up a little bit here.
A simile.
A little art.
Do you think similes are better, worse, or of equal value as metaphors?
Worse. They are the poor man's metaphor.
A simile, because you have to use like or as or something.
Correct. A simile is an unconfident metaphor. Just go with the metaphor.
Do you respect people who use similes instead of metaphors?
I mean, I do. I use similes, but it's always by accident because it's just the times that I've been conditioned in. But I hope that when I raise my own children, I'll be able to kind of train them out of it because, I'm a product of my environment and that's unfortunate. I have a slip of the tongue often where I'll sort of, one will just come out when I'm not thinking about it and it's a horrible, low quality.
A simile will just come out.
It'll just come out automatically and I'm sorry. It's just what I've been, it's what I was brought up in. I'm a child of the 90s. Yeah. It's what I was surrounded by. But my kids, hopefully we'll be living in a better society. More metaphors.
And our kids. Well, they'll be living on a warmer, it'll be warmer because of all the ice is melting.
Yes.
Global warming.
I hear what you're saying, guy. Do you think that's going to lead to more metaphors or less metaphors?
Probably more. I think a lot, people will be trying to articulate what this experience is similar to, but they'll be short on time, so they'll be culling any unnecessary or superfluous language.
That's right. And just like wartime, because it will be a challenging time for everyone, people get poetic, That's where art comes from. It comes from pain. So what I'm saying is let's get all this coal and these resources out of the earth, drill, baby, drill, let's burn the fuckers while we can, let's have a party, and then...
I heard somebody say burn, baby, burn, a disco inferno, burn,
let's
baby, burn.
Write some poetry while we kill the polar bears, That's my position on things. That's where I'm coming from.
You're my guy, Tim. You know that. You and me, we get along. We think along similar lines. We like the same breads. I reckon I've never felt as close to you as I do right now after that speech.
Well, that's touching. I don't quite know what to say. Although I will say, I feel a lion. Is that a metaphor? It's like a super efficient one. I removed as many words as I could.
I feel a lion.
Yeah. I feel, comma, a lion. No, I feel a lion.
I feel, comma, a lion. Did you just take out the word like?
Yeah.
I don't think that passes that works? The test.
Did I do a metaphor?
You know, you did a disaster. I feel a lion.
So if I remove the comma as well and I was going for super efficiency, it just means I'm touching up a lion. My experience. Yeah.
Or not touching up. Thing to do. You might be doing it by accident. It might be one of those games at the fair where you have to put your hand into a box and you guess what's in the box. And you say, I feel a lion. And they go, whoa, are you using a metaphor or do you actually think there's a lion in the box? And you go, well, I guess you'll never know. They go, well, if we don't know, then you aren't in the draw to win. You can't win the prize. And you go, what's the prize again? They go, it's what's in the box. You go, well, I think there's a lion in the box. They go, congratulations, now you own a lion. And you're like, I don't have the space to raise or the money or inclination to raise a lion. Do you know how much fucking work that's going to be? Like, what? Too bad, lady. Not our problem. It's your lion now.
It would be a funny way to get rid of a lion. Or, in fact, anything you didn't want. Put it in a box. Make it a game. The first correct guess of what's in this box, you will win the prize, and the prize is the thing that you're guessing. What is it? Well, it's a bunch of old driftwood, which I took
didn't have
and
anywhere
has
to
been
put.
Sitting in my
I'm
house.
Moving, I'm moving house at the moment, and I really didn't have anywhere for it. I don't want all this old driftwood. Well, too bad. It's yours.
It's yours now. Yours now, buddy.
What am I meant to do with it? I don't know. Use your initiative. I seem to get rid of it okay. I love this. I love these carnies that we've created. I love their shtick.
Have you ever met a carny? Like a real one?
No. Not like the ones on The Simpsons.
I reckon I have briefly in Australia when I actually went to the fair. They seem like very hardy people. But they're also, I think, pretty loose with safety regulations.
Yeah, they're known for being loose with safety regulations. And everything's rigged.
I've seen rides propped up on, what do you call them, like crates before for, you know, structural integrity. Although, I've recently seen a few houses propped up on crates, which seems wild to me.
I'm sure I told this story before on the podcast, but I'm going to rip through it real quick anyway, because it's quite a good one. It was a ride at the Christchurch ANP show, and it was like where all the sort of, you know, the haunted house and all the Ferris wheel and whatever, all the dodgems and all the shitty rides that they've got. This one's called the Gravitron, and you'd go in and it would spin you around so fast that you would, I don't know what is it plays, centrifugal force or something? But you could, like, you'd be flat against the wall and you could turn your body so that you'd be, like, side on and you'd be flat, flush against the wall, you know. So you could go upside down. It's quite good fun. And I was in there with my friend Oscar and we were doing it. And then a bit of metal came off the middle of the ride and hit Oscar in the head and he threw up on himself. And he was, like, pinned against the wall in his own vomit because the ride kept going. And that seems really dangerous to me, but you know, what are you going to do? We didn't do anything. I just laughed at Oscar because he had vomit on his shirt and we went and looked at some sheep or something.
You know, in New Zealand, that's how that story goes. If that had transpired in America, it would have been like a multi-million dollar lawsuit.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff, huh?
I think I've told this story as well, but it was ages ago. I went to the Royal Sydney Easter Show and developed briefly a fear of flying after going on a fair round ride, which was kind of an octopus shaped thing, central pole in the middle, very strong, and then lots of octopus arms hanging off of it, and then off the back, off the end of each arm, there was kind of two of these things that would strap you into place, similar to a roller coaster, a sort of a harness that would come down and grab you by the shoulders and waist, lock you in place, and then your legs would just dangle, and it'd take you up and throw you around every which way. And I went on with Nick, who's my friend, who I was living with at the time.
And I know Nick's, Nick.
Nick's a pretty that's good. Nick's a pretty big guy. He is about 6 foot.
Nick, you know, likes sort of me,
solid build. Yeah, Nick likes you. That's right, guy. Nick likes you. He sure does.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So you'd tell me on if, you'd tell me if I'd done anything to upset him, or if he didn't, if he for whatever reason decided he didn't like me. Yeah, you'd tell me.
I totally would, man. Yeah, I would pass that on. In the same way that I would never promise to pass on like birthday wishes and not do it. You know, I'm a man of my word that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not messing with me when you say that. You definitely said happy birthday to Rainera, and you sent my love to him and Emily.
And Emma. I don't think I could have been.
And Emma, who I definitely know.
I don't think I could have been more clear at the start when I was talking about it. So there we are on the ride, on the octopus ride. And that thing is going so damn fast and throwing us in such crazy directions that Nick, who is a very brave boy, this is a guy who's gone through basic training in the army. He's fired guns and things, you see. Not a lot rattles him.
Very, very brave.
Screaming for his life. Doing that kind of panicked laughing that you do when you know that this could be it. Thought his dang legs were going to get cut off by one of the bars that we were flying perilously close to at extremely high speeds.
Kept doing the thing where
it would angle us, it would point us towards the ground and then throw us at the ground at tremendous speed and then pull you out just at the last moment. And we were quite shaken when we got off the ride. And it went for, this was the real kicker, the thing went for ages. It felt like we were on there for 10 minutes. I'm sure it wasn't that long, but maybe it was a good 6-7 minutes of just crazy, torturous, throwing around and freaky maneuvers at high speed. And then, so we were quite shaken, so we sort of chilled out and had a beer, and we went on the Ferris wheel. And just the Ferris wheel alone, when it got up to its maximum point, I was like, oh, that's weird. I didn't have a fear of heights before, but I do now, and it's from that ride. And it persisted for like a year after that I genuinely felt nervous about flying. It's gone now, thank goodness.
That's bad.
Ah, it's crazy. But, you know, nothing happened, because them carnies know what they're doing. They know what they're up to.
Yeah, there's really stringent laws and regulations around ride safety, like super stringent. There's no way anything would ever get, you know, slip through the cracks.
Well, like except that, I mean, things do, I'll just say things do happen sometimes, but it is rare.
Yeah.
But, you know, we won't get into it, because it's time for us to end, I think. God, we have talked about the film very little this week. Let's round off on a little bit of what I like to call film chat. It's just me compensating for the fact that we haven't talked about the film.
Dude, no one wants us to fucking talk about the film. They want us to stop talking right now.
Just give me ten words to describe the movie.
Tim, I don't want to do this anymore. You understand?
Is that 9?
It was 10, you idiot.
Guy, I do understand. And I thought the film sucked.
Perfect. Perfect end to a perfect pod. Hey, be sure to rate us on iTunes, like and subscribe. Tim's got a vlog that he would love you to check out. Check out Tim's vlog. Yeah.
You're the one with the vlog. Follow Guy's Instagram stories on his Instagram account. Guy Mon.
He does. Tim does unboxing videos, but it's not unboxing. He just squeezes on his vlog. He squeezes all of the toothpaste out of a tube.
Fuck, that is odd.
And Tim thinks it's unboxing. He's like, "Have you seen my vlog? I have all these unboxing videos." And I say, "No, Tim, that's just you squeezing toothpaste all the way out of the tube." And you go, "Yeah, I'm getting it out of the box." Okay, no, is it called a tube? You go, "Well, a tube is a kind of box." Anyway, check them out on YouTube. It's called Tim Batt's Unboxing Videos Vlog.
And thanks again to this week's sponsor, dollarshaveclub.com/worst idea. Goodbye.
Ow! This movie's still fine. Zuccoli. but a pastor.
One of them dies, they go screw. One of them's a hottie, his name is Jay. One of them looks like Johnny D, and his name is Johnny D.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.